Hey, listen up, idiots. This is your spoiler warning. Also, you might get offended, so warning for that too, you idiots.
I love you guys. Hello! My name is Kyle.
My name is Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form Experience Grind Podcast. The only podcast that celebrates stoner movies for an entire fucking month.
Oh, man. I just realized what I did the next episode.
The next episode that hasn't been recorded yet? What'd you realize?
All right, no, I'm going to be completely in character and meta the shit out of this. I know fully in advance that Stoner Movie September isn't the only holiday that's a month long, because we also celebrate Black History Month. And if I ever forget this in the future, well, that's just a mistake.
Yeah.
Didn't break the continuity, did I? Perfect.
Oh. Halloween has also apparently been just morphed into a whole month long with like a giant celebration at the end of it now.
Yeah, Easter's the same way too. Easter
is
has
it, does Easter anybody has give like a shit about Easter?
Where there's like fucking eggs and
when
fucking
is Easter?
Rabbits.
I don't
everywhere.
Even know when Easter is.
It's in April-ish.
Is it in April?
That's why I'm saying it feels like a goddamn month. I can tell you how
is it April?
Is
I thought it was in March.
Easter is the fourth Sunday after the first full moon after the first series of the moon.
So it shifts every year.
So it shifts, 3 weeks either way.
Here's a question for Ryan. What did Jesus walk into Jerusalem on? What leaf?
A psalm?
No, not psalm. Is psalm a plant?
Nope, that's not a
was
thing.
Was it a tobacco leaf?
It wasn't a tobacco leaf.
Was it a wacky tobacco
is
leaf?
Is this going to be... Wait, I'm sorry. Is this a joke?
No, that wasn't it... Is it fern leaves, right? Or was it... It was Palm Sunday. It was palm leaves. You said psalm, though. That threw me off.
I thought you were going some weird jokey metaphysical thing.
Nobody jokes.
I don't know.
Nobody jokes about religion here, Ryan, okay? Religion is serious bullshit.
Kyle, do you know what else is serious bullshit?
What?
Tenacious D in the Pick of Destiny, which is our September... Nope.
God, I almost
man.
Died.
Our stoner movie September movie.
This is our third movie.
Septoner.
Not the fourth one. And we're totally recording this one third
Did
in
I
line.
Say fourth?
Not last, so that we're super drunk.
I see what you're doing. You're just completely breaking this illusion.
This fourth wall?
After I
got shattered.
Fucking marvelously upheld my commitment.
Yeah.
And in character, you're just going to throw it out there?
By in character, you talk about in characterly talking about how the fact that...
It is. All right. I'm sorry that I'm on this whole, level here.
My metaphysical level is above
like a
you.
Charlie Kaufman type level. I am the old man who is watching the old man who is himself.
Get out of here, adaptation.
I was going Schenectady, New York. But yes, adaptation works too.
I'm enjoying this, guys.
Movie nerds.
You guys are doing great.
Yeah. Speaking of movie nerds, hey, man, what are you playing with there?
I'm fidgeting again. God damn it. I can't help it. Kyle, I am fidgeting with this Experience Grind Stoner Movie September fidget spinner. It's,
What?
All fidgety. Look at that. What? You can spin it this way. You can stop it and then spin it the other way.
That thing has marijuana leaves on it, Ryan.
It does.
Now, if I so wanted that exact fidget spinner, how would I come to be in possession of that?
Well, you certainly couldn't buy this on any online vendor.
No.
But what you can do is go to twitter.com. And retweet this episode when it posts. So just retweet the episode. You can find that at EXP Grind Podcast on Twitter. We will post this episode here. You retweet it. You are entered in to get this fidget spinner. Look at it.
It's
magnificent.
It's fidget spinnery.
Man, maybe if we had production, we could get a zoom on this, huh? No,
only,
no zoom.
If only we had a cameraman that zoomed at inopportune times.
Not even like production, just like a finger. That's all it takes, just a finger, and you can zoom it. Come on, get that goddamn angle. All right, no, okay. Fidget spinner, retweet to win. It's great.
Ryan, what the hell are we talking about today, buddy?
Not teamwork, that's for sure.
No. Oh, man.
Which is a big part of this episode, I think.
It is. This movie is all about teamwork. And that is, as I said before, Tenacious D we are talking about. Their movie, musical, their first, their one and only.
I believe it's considered a rock opera.
Sure. Along with the lines of what? Like Tommy?
Like Tommy and...
Rocky Horror? Is that a rock opera?
It is. And also Green Day's American Idiot is classified as a rock opera.
Is that a play?
It's not, but I think they
or
have
a musical,
the,
I mean?
They want to turn it into something in the future. But even when they released it back in the day, it's... A rock opera, like, is just kind of a... It's a story told through an album. It's like a musical, but it's more heavy. So
sure.
It gets the rock opera is what they call it.
Sure. Well, we can get into that. And I guess thematically, what makes good rock operas?
Spoiler!
But before we do that, do you have a train of thought to go into for our intro topic?
God damn it, no.
Did we discuss this before the episode?
We did not. This is
okay.
Coming off the cuff.
So this is good. All right, off the cuff questions. Here we go.
Oh.
Also, if you dummies would like to write in with questions
please
for
do.
Any of these intros,
please
we'll
do.
Read them, even if they are dumb. Like, could lightsaber cut a Goku? We'll read them.
God, the way you fucking... Could a lightsaber cut a Goku instead of could a lightsaber cut a Goku is the best fucking thing ever. Oh my god. Oh. You sound like you have other questions in mind, Ryan. Do you?
No, I really don't. I really hated that question and I still have not been able to shake it.
Man. that question when we were like 17. That's what we would get drunk and argue about.
Oh, I don't yearn for those days, I guess.
Do you yearn for those days?
Do I yearn for those days?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. I just wanted to make a piss joke.
That was barely a joke.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It wasn't a joke
this
at all.
This is evolving real quick.
All right.
We need Kyle. Yes. Oh, you have
yeah. Here we go.
Yes.
I think Jack Black, as a name, has a nice rhyming... couplet sound to it.
Uh-huh. Continue.
What?
The sound engineer is really tickling his ivories here.
You're killing me, Smalls.
It's not...
What are some other famous names that rhyme, would you pick?
Yeah. What are some of your other favorite rhyming couplets?
Okay.
Oh my god, are you serious?
So I always remember, I don't know, I'm a little bit older than you, Ryan, but I grew up in like...
Oh, I love everything the show has become.
The birth of like hip-hop and rap music. Not
okay.
The birth, but like gangster rap really took off when I was a kid. Like,
got it. You love Romeo plus Juliet. That spoke to you in a way Romeo and Juliet have never before.
Is that the Leo DiCaprio
with the
vehicle?
Rapping in it.
Was it rapping in it? I haven't seen it forever.
I don't know if it was rap as much as like the 90s thug rap.
I don't know shit about rap. I know a lot about Shakespeare. I remember that John Leguizamo played Tybalt.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, you got it.
Sure did. Claire Danes played Juliet.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Good
callback. Who played Mercutio?
Was it Bradley Cooper?
No, it was an actor of color. So not Bradley Cooper. Was it Tay Diggs? Was he in the Romeo plus Juliet?
It was Tay Diggs.
I don't remember.
Was it Tay Diggs? He doesn't.
I'd prefer not to answer.
Was it? Not Tay Diggs. Was it Don Cheadle?
I don't know, but this is an interesting line we're going down. And I think I'm going to stop it before we get to the third actor, who was probably Goldie Hawn, right?
Okay.
That was going to be the third one. Obviously, the next one.
Denzel.
Oh, okay. Just straight down that same line. Oh, no, maybe not. If you've seen the trailer to Snatch, Goldie Hawn's not doing so hot nowadays.
No, of course not. She's working with
not doing
Schumer.
Well. Yeah, stinker. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Goo! That was me pulling my shirt in a miming like, oh.
No. Don't describe it for the people who listen on podcasts.
Yeah, you got to watch this.
Watch it.
Idiots, as your wife so lovingly calls all of our listeners at the start of it. I love that fucking new intro, by the way. Do you remember it?
Nope.
We recorded it forever ago, but it's just now become into rotation.
Oh, yeah? Which episode did it start on?
Do you listen?
Three or four
to the podcasts,
not
Ryan.
Regularly, no. Never.
I guess not.
Unless I say something like contentious, and then I listen to make sure it's out. That is the only time I listen to this podcast.
So a new intro is just your wife telling people that, hey, there's probably spoilers here, idiots, and then something else that she also calls them idiots again. It's great.
Okay, so double idiot.
Yeah, all that's right. Fucking fantastic.
Good.
And that biting Laura tone that I'm sure you're more familiar with than all of us.
Yeah, I hear a lot about other things, though, so it's okay. It's much more amusing that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, you're really liking that fidget spinner.
I fucking
it's
fidget,
awesome.
Man. I can't help it. It's like the fucking devil. I can't stop touching it. I don't know. I just got... Speaking of the devil... Hey, do we actually have an intro topic, Hartman? Was that it? Was you asking about the couplets?
Oh, yeah.
We didn't answer this. Are we really trying to answer this?
I was talking about hip-hop music. I remember being a kid, and like the only thing I remember about hip-hop is like they'd say their name and then a rhyme with name, and I was like, man, all I can think of, my name is Kyle, and I like to smile. And that's not very fucking gangsta.
My name is Brian, and I'm not crying. It's seasonal allergies.
I've got red eyes. Please give me some Flonase, because I'll be sneezing for days.
Sneezing for mo days. All right, well, that was dumb. That's my favorite couplet, what Kyle just did there.
Oh.
Mine? My name is Kyle, and I like to smile?
Yes.
What about Ace of Base? Right?
All right, so...
Are you just doing rhymes?
Yeah, that was the question.
So you brought this up.
So, like, the name of a band is a rhyme, though. You're not, like, talking about, like, lyrics.
No, he's talking about the couplet.
The curious position
gotcha.
That Jack Black's name finds itself in.
Ace of Base, yeah. Kyle Smile, Ryan trying to
yeah,
be
well,
funny.
Yeah, well, these are made-up things, Jim.
But Ryan... On the inside. What? Nihilism.
What is... Man, we didn't talk about nihilism.
We
will not...
Nihilist.
Apparently, we will not talk about nihilism at all in the Big Lebowski episode.
I think Kyle needs to refer to future tapes because the nihilists were definitely dropped in the future on that future episode. They were. Maybe just not to his liking, but they were.
I love you guys so much.
I don't know.
I can go one out.
Shouldn't. I don't have an answer to this question.
Oh. I have one. It's on a more serious level.
Yeah, I don't have
one. So Tenacious D, they're about being in a band and making music. I know Kyle has some musical ability.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you, Ryan. Did you ever take a lesson, a piano lesson?
Good question. I never took piano lessons. We did recorder.
I think everybody had to do recorder
for at least a
class
or so.
What was the recorder song that you guys learned? I know mine.
So many, I don't remember off the top of my head.
I remember Hot Cross Buns. Did you guys play Hot Cross Buns?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
On recorder. You remember?
I don't know what Hot Cross Buns is.
Hot Cross Buns.
Hot Cross Buns. Hot cross buns.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's the
who
like,
said those words though.
That's, no, you I just play the note.
Yes,
I know the tune, but yeah. I've never heard it called Hot Cross Buns.
That's the name of the song. Buns. Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't know that.
Were you born in America, Ryan?
Spoilers.
I don't.
Speaking of that's right. That's an Easter reference because right. you have Hot Cross Buns right. during Easter.
All right. Time out, fucking sound engineer over there. I was born in America. I don't know about the intricacies of goddamn songs from hundreds of years ago. Not even just songs, but like really jingle fucking types. Like that's so fucking niche. That's like being on my high pedestal.
Being niche,
like,
though, for real, like everybody at least. So it might be regional.
They know that it's called hot cross buns.
Yes. See? It's a regional thing. Your wife knows. It's Hot Cross Buns. That's what everybody learns on recorder. It's one of those songs that has, like, it's, like, the same song with, like, multiple tunes, like the ABC song in Twinkle Twinkle. I think, doesn't Hot Cross have another?
Baba Black Sheep and Twinkle Twinkle.
No, it's ABC. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
This is what twinkle, this is the point of what I'm getting to. This star. Is what the point I'm getting to. All those songs are memorable. Their fucking inane names are not. And therefore, if you don't know it's called Hot Cross Buns, who fucking cares? Because that's a stupid goddamn name for what is essentially a three-note jingle.
Yeah.
Stupid fucking name.
Oh. I don't think anybody's arguing with you there.
Baba Black yeah. Sheep. Let's argue the semantics of what it's called. Guess what? Don't fucking matter.
Would you say, Ryan, are you the black sheep of your family?
No. Yeah, sister? I probably am.
I was going to say.
I am the black sheep.
You are?
Yeah.
Like, at the family reunion, everybody's like, oh, there's Ryan.
Oh, no. I guess not.
Surprised he's sober enough to show up.
Here? Black sheep is the odd one that doesn't fall into the rest of the family norms. And I think you would be the black sheep of your family. I'm the black sheep of my family. I know sound engineer Andrew is the black sheep of his family.
I think if we're going, like, my immediate family, I am probably, like, the two-square one of my family.
You're two-square?
Yes.
Which would still make you the black sheep.
Yes, but in, like, a different context.
Speaking...
I mean, if there's a black sheep, like, you know, the one that... The treble one, the one that...
It doesn't always mean the treble one, though. That's generally what it is. Right,
so here's this. In my family... Lots of trouble ones all over. Yeah. I'm the one who's not.
So you're more straight-laced, so you are the black sheep, though.
And that's not just immediate family. I don't think anybody outside of immediate family listens, so fuck them.
Fuck
whatever.
You, other Demarests.
I'm kidding. I take that back. If they're listening, I'm so sorry. That's bad. I can't do that.
Speaking of, we're going to talk about a black sheep of a family when we come back after this bumper. Because Jack Black is the black sheep of his family in this movie.
Yes, in a town called Kickapoo.
It is, and it's a great...
Which is not the song we're going to be playing.
No. Instead, we're going to play, I think... I'm going to go ahead and spoiler my favorite song from this movie and the album.
I knew you were going there, so you spoiled nothing.
Yes. Well, it is the song Beelzebos, which is the last song in the movie, and it's their showdown with the devil, and it is... Just a fucking fantastic song all around.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we'll talk about it more.
Yes. God damn it, this is a great song. But here is Beelzebos from the Tenacious D Pick of Destiny soundtrack.
I am complete.
Everybody, this is Sound Engineer Andrew, and welcome back to the Experience Grind Podcast.
Professional, as always. Continue, Sound Engineer.
Today we're talking about the wonderful movie Tenacious D, The Pick of Destiny. Has there been a better movie made? I don't know. Let's discuss.
So, Ryan.
I like that.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
We're back now. I don't know.
That intro didn't give it away.
I don't know your opinions on this movie. I have not sat in on the recording of the episode after this. So I'm going into this completely blind.
Yes.
But let's talk about... I want to take things at face value and just work through this movie as a whole.
That is fine with me.
So... This movie starts off...
You feel free to lead the discussion, because as you will see in the next episode, I kind of led and took over on that one.
Yeah.
This should be yours. You lead the way, and I will jump in.
Or you're planning to lead in the next episode.
Yes, That's what, you know, I said. Check the tapes.
Check those tapes, folks.
And so, if you do check the tapes, then you're a dumbass who played the tape twice. Whatever. Still win for me.
This movie starts off with a very in-the-know Ren and Stimpy cartoon.
Yes. Well, yes. It's the animator, the guy who did the Ren and Stimpy cartoon.
Mm-hmm. It's obviously Ren and Stimpy.
He also did the Fuck Her Gently video.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the guy's name, that animator.
I only know that Billy West did the voices.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he's fucking great.
But yeah, it opens with that and a riff on the THX logo.
Yes, which is THC.
Yes, so which, now THC, in a way it says like the audience is now rolling or the audience is smoking or something.
I can't remember either. I wish I did. But I think out of everything so far, this is the most stoner movie we've done. Maybe Harold and Kumar and Half-Baked come close.
I would say Half-Baked would be my argument. But I could also see this one.
It wears it on its sleeve. Like, it tells you at the very beginning, like, hey, you should probably be stoned for this.
Yeah, and the fact that it's a cartoon, it's just not typical. So it does. It's like, we're going to play and we're going to be out there. And yeah, there might be a section where Jack Black dresses up in a Bigfoot costume with John C. Reilly and takes a float through the clouds.
Uncredited John C. Reilly, by the way.
It's great. I didn't realize it until this very viewing. That was John C. Reilly.
Really?
I was like, oh, motherfuck. That's who it is.
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay. Yeah, it's great.
Yes.
But before we jump into that, I want to take it again at a pace. So this movie starts off with a young Jack Black.
Yes. Perfectly cast, by the way.
God damn it. This kid is the most fucking perfect cast kid actor ever.
Fucking dead ringer. He's
Holy shit.
The facial moment, like, just down perfectly.
He knows, like, did Jack Black work with this kid for like 3 months before this movie and was like, yeah, this is the faces I
make. It's
that
smile when he turns, it's perfect Jack Black.
It's fucking amazing. And it's only one-upped by the fact that his dad is played by motherfucking Meatloaf.
Yes. Yes.
It's so great. And we have this amazing intro song. So, we did mention before, this whole movie is like a rock opera. It's like a musical. Mm-hmm. So, there are musical interludes and songs that move the story along.
It's not like a musical. I would argue it just is a musical.
Yes.
This is definitely a musical. It counts.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, the first song is Kickapoo, and it's the story of a young black sheep, Jack Black, and his overtly religious household that wants to play rock and roll music and loves all the that.
You're going through step by step, I have all the songs as they play and the notes in between, but the notes are the songs.
Very nice. So what's your story? What's your notes on Kickapoo?
I didn't mean to take over the conversation. I was using this to point out for you.
I like
since you're going through.
Because my notes are way more vague.
Yes. Well, Kickapoo's the opening. I just said Meatloaf. That's one. That's fantastic. It's a great callback to Rocky Horror, which he was in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just being a rock god himself. And then also in the song, you get Ronnie James Dio to appear.
Fucking Dio shows up halfway through and it just gets even more awesome.
But it is just this one opening song is very operatic. It has this just grand feel to it already. And we talked about this briefly and I'll just go ahead and say them as we go. We talk about our three favorite songs in this movie. This is one of my favorite songs. This is one of the best. I love the interplay between everybody singing. I really like the iconography in the house.
Sure.
Like, it's all white and very muted colors. And then, like, the Jack Black characters, the black and then the reds. And everything is so vibrant and pops that's related to rock. But everything else is so white and washed. Everybody's wearing khakis and white shirts and a white dress and everything. And it's, like, a really good image.
What I love about this song, and we'll get more into your notes, is the fact that this song perfectly sets up the entire tone of the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's got really fucking crude jokes and filthy language. It's got fantasy aspects that play into everything. And it really lets you know, like, okay, this is what is going to be happening through the rest of the movie.
And cameos.
Yes.
And you get cameos, because I'd say that's what another thing this movie does well, is like there are so many cameos, and they come so quickly, too.
Yes. So that's, again, Kickapoo is a fantastic fucking song. It's definitely, I'd say it's in my top three for sure in this
entire
movie.
We might agree on top three, then.
Okay.
I think there's one you like much more than I do.
Okay.
Which we'll get to it when we get there. So then we get the tarot card opening and the fee and that all business. And this is where I start to have criticisms.
Okay.
And I like this movie a lot. I will say going into this stoner movie September, I thought this would be like my number two movie. Like I had so much love and admiration for this movie. Saw it way back when, seen it several times since, but it's been maybe 5 years since I last saw it. And this time around, I felt the editing was very lazy.
Okay.
Just things happen and the scene cuts at like, just, it feels like any time, it doesn't matter. Do we need, let's just make a tarot card opening. It doesn't have to relate. Like you could say it kind of does with like the old timey religious stuff and then that tying into the devil's thing. But it just feels like things cut or move to a new scene just for the sake of it. It feels more like a Saturday Night Live sketch come to a movie almost. And I think that makes sense coming from the HBO sketch series, which is what it was.
Yes.
And I felt that a lot more this time.
Are you ready to have your mind blown?
Yes.
Because I agree with you 100%.
Actually, I am very surprised. I thought I was going to get a lot of pushback on this.
No. I watched this movie too. And I think it is the weakest of all of our offerings of Stoner Movie September this month or this year.
Yeah,
I
really okay. Do.
I think it's down in that lower echelon. I think everything else we have talked about, I can't say for sure because we haven't talked about Big Lebowski yet. Wink, wink. But for real, like, it's, and that's not to say that it's not a great movie. It's fun. It has its purposes. But it does have some weird things that it does that I also don't like. The one thing that I do like about this movie compared to everything else is easily the shortest of the Stoner Movie September movies we watched.
What, 80-something? 78
minutes? I think it's like 92.
Okay.
It's a very short, and I will thank you. The one thing, if anybody ever listens to this show, I preach constantly is...
Brevity.
Make it short. Give me purpose. Mm-hmm. Which is completely contradictory to the fact that I love a slow burn movie as my favorite.
Yeah.
But man, when they need to be short, they should be short. And this one just gets it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, yeah, we're just going to fucking give you this bare bonesness and make it work.
Yeah.
And so they do that. So.
Yeah. And I would say I have more misgivings as we'll get into it. But I don't think the film never doesn't work. I still think it's fun and enjoyable.
Yeah.
But it's not the classic I remember it as.
No.
And I definitely, the rose-tinted goggles are fucking gone.
What I like too, and again, this is just having seen it multiple times and listening to the soundtrack tons, this tarot card reading that has totally taken us off on this course, it is an orchestral version of the Beelzebub song, which is fucking awesome.
Uh-huh.
And that's only because I fucking love the Beelzebub song.
Yeah, you know, it's good foreshadowing, and again, it does foreshadow the... Kind of the story of how the Pick of Destiny came to be. But again, I thought it was bleh. It was fine. Meh, whatever. So then after that, we go to Jack Black in Hollywood. He's walking along the boardwalk and he sees KG full hair playing guitar. And we get Classico is the next big song.
Which is just a, it's a Bach song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Johann Sebastian Bach. Which is a great song.
Yes, and Jack Black kind of just improvises over it, essentially.
Can't you see he's a man? He's a shiny golden man.
He's a shiny golden god.
Yes,
he's a shiny. He's more than a god. He's. I forgot it already.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, whatever. Lyrics aside, I think it's great, and it showcases why Tenacious D works, is because, like, they do know classical music. They are actually good. Like, to play that song, you have to be skilled, and there it's so funny, too. Like, Jack Black doing his riff at the end, the like, that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know.
Yes.
Out of context, that is
really dumb, but no, it works.
But it makes sense if you've seen the movie.
You have KG, who is Kyle Gass, who is actually, he's an actor, but he's a really fucking well-trained guitarist.
Yes.
And he is the lead guitarist of Tenacious D and has been since he met Jack Black, or JB, as he's constantly referred to in this
Cage
movie.
Cage and Jables.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Cage and Jables, KG and JB. Jack Black plays guitar. He's a massive fan of rock and roll music, as anybody can attest. And that fucking dude can sing.
He's got a great voice.
A fantastic voice.
Mm-hmm.
And this was first shown to me
in High Fidelity. That end scene, right?
Holy shit. Mm-hmm. He's fucking great. And I think that's when a lot of people really recognized it.
Yeah.
When I say a lot of people, I mean like the 14 of us that saw High Fidelity.
Yeah.
But that really kind of, I think, in Hollywood showed people that, holy shit, Jack Black can sing. And then at some point along the lines, he did meet KG. And they formed this kind of dumb band on the side. They had the HBO show. They released one album. And it was, I fucking love that first Tenacious D album so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not my favorite.
Really?
No. This is my favorite of theirs. I think
you like the Pick of Destiny soundtrack better?
Pick of Destiny is better on almost every front. I think there are higher highs in that first album. Like Fuck Her Gently, I still think is just
Fuck Her Gently
a great piece of work. And then like
Karate Tribute,
Kielbasa, I love
Kielbasa.
Like there's good stuff, City but Hall. Then see, I don't like City Hall. And then there are things that will echo through here. There are a bunch of skits, like the cock push-ups and like the going through the drive-thru and getting the four nuggets and half a Diet Coke and then like the rest full Coke.
Yes.
Things like that, they're fine. They really bog the album down. And so it's one that I don't really remember fondly, or not necessarily remember fondly, but one I don't want to go back to.
Okay.
Sure, it has Tribute and Kickapoo, or not Kickapoo, motherfuck, Wonder Boy and Wonder other Boy. Things that are great. But I think from start to finish, Pick of Destiny is solid, cohesive, and just better. It is a rock opera. Every song informs the next song.
It does work, and it tells a story. Yes.
And that's I prefer that.
Okay.
So that would be my category.
I'm of the opposite, but maybe because I started with the Tenacious D first album. And again, I used to smoke a lot of fucking weed, and I fucking love that record.
Uh-huh.
I played a lot. The skits were great, especially when I was stoned, so... Mm-hmm. It's maybe a bit of rose-colored glasses. That's fine. I will admit it.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking the Tenacious D Pick of Destiny soundtrack.
Yeah, no.
Fucking awesome. And it does have my favorite song of all Tenacious D history on it.
Which is probably Beelzebub, right?
It is Beelzebub. That song is such a fucking masterpiece.
It is. So this is the climactic fight song of the movie, essentially. Their big, long quest is finished. The Pick of Destiny is together. And turns out Paul F. Tompkins from the HBO show, who's the stand-up host guy, Paul F. Tompkins will never not kill me. I love how dry he fucking is, always. His performance, I just love him. That cameo is great. He's the devil, who then turns into Dave Grohl in giant prosthetics.
Which is also fucking awesome.
Yes. And much like the devil went down to Georgia, we get the climactic showdown between the D and Satan.
Musically.
Yes.
Like a big musical showdown.
Yeah. And so why does that one speak to you, Kyle?
Because just as a song, like there are so many things that play into it. It's got really fucking heavy metal stuff. And it's got, you know, it's got the... I fucking love the devil. He's a fucking great character. I love the way that they're playing the devil in like this cocksure attitude with some slight homosexual undertones.
Again, it's Dave Grohl. Dave Grohl. I'm already sold.
Dave Grohl singing it. Dave Grohl is playing drums and lead guitar on almost everything.
And that one cutaway to that giant drum kit and it's Grohl rocking out.
It's a triple drum, triple bass drum with 666 on it.
Yep.
It's fucking awesome. There's this awesome behind the scenes shot that you can find of KG, JB, and Dave Grohl in the full devil makeup, where Dave Grohl is holding the rock horns with drumsticks that are in an upside down cross configuration. Mm-hmm. It's fucking tongue in cheek and fun as hell. And that song also kicks so much ass.
Mm-hmm.
And so much ass that I'm going to fucking link the song and video directly, separately. On our Facebook, and you can find it.
Yeah.
You should fucking listen to it. Because
it's good. I'd say it's. I think I ended up listening to this album before I ever saw the movie. But it is the climax of the movie.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen the movie, you should watch the movie first. But if you never want to watch the movie, yes, that song is absolutely worth checking out.
It has by itself. It like has hints of metal, and then it has hints of power rock, and then
that's
it gets
it
softer.
It progresses into so many different types. Like, all right, so this and Kickapoo, I put in the same category because
absolutely.
They shift their gears in the way that like Wings and the Beatles or Queen does, where like every phrase is so new and different.
Like, once Dio shows up in Kickapoo, Holy shit, that's a whole new level.
Right? Yeah. And that's, I think, this is what works the best. And this, do you have more to talk about Beelzebub on?
No, Beelzebub is just the best song Tenacious D has ever written.
Completely agree with you. I am going to shift the topic now because I think this is maybe, this is my issue with the movie now, is that the soundtrack is so fantastic and the rest of the movie just doesn't match that fantastic soundtrack.
Totally agree.
It just feels like a piecemeal mess to get to those songs.
Yep.
And it's a bummer because aside from a few standout things, I think, in the non-song parts, it is the songs that make the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff in between just has dated pretty badly, and it just seems tame some of the times. Like, Cage has an insult in this movie where he calls somebody a stupid dillweed, and it's like, was that ever, like, funny? Or
I don't know if that one... Here's the thing. So I'm totally agreeing with you on the fact that, like, I think watching this movie, I think it's really dumb when they do the Clockwork Orange callback. That's completely out of place.
It's a reference for no reason.
Yeah, it's totally dumb, and it makes no sense and has no purpose, and I'm like, I don't get why we're doing this.
No, it's not even Family Guy, because Family Guy usually at least makes a point about it. It's literally just like, these are the people from Clockwork. There's no reference beyond that. The only joke that is the guy talks like this. Oh, excuse me.
He doesn't go like British this. At first.
Yeah, and then he's American. That funny?
No.
Was that ever fucking funny? I don't know. So I'm fucking with you on that. Yeah. That's one thing I noticed.
That's a jarring thing.
There's a lot that I'm not so harsh on it. I agree a lot of the other stuff is fluff to set up into the, but I think sometimes that fluff works.
Sometimes. I think the we'll go highlights on the in between. We can go back to songs at any point, but they're all fucking great.
I like almost any aspect before the ruse of KG is exposed, where he's
really
the cocky hairy dude.
That's the stuff that doesn't work
really?
For me.
Oh man, I really do kind of enjoy those parts where he's trying to keep up this cool guy nonchalant ruse. All that's pretty fucking great. The
You know what my favorite part in that time of the movie is Jack Black doing the dishes and then tossing the rag
and missing it.
Still going for it and just like still going through it and just like how he doesn't miss a beat is comedic genius.
Yeah, Jack Black is
his physical humor is so good. It's not just like that guy funny fall down or whatever. It is like that kind of stuff.
You brought up Jack Black's physical humor. I think also, goddamn it, KG's facial expressions in this movie are the best ever. They blow Jack Black's out of the water. Mm-hmm. All these fucking weird, dumb faces he makes are fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
God, they're so good. I think there are a lot of things that do
his line
still
delivery
work.
Too. Yeah, like, I have ass tattoo too. Or what he says,
it's
like
ass mark too.
I have ass mark too. I have ass mark too. Yeah. He says it in a way like it's. I can't even replicate it.
It's really dumb.
Yeah.
Damn it. But yeah, like again, it's just. The whole movie's like message of these two friends and camaraderie and like KG wanting to be what Jack Black wants to be, but pretending to be it at first. It sucks that a lot of the other aspects of the movie do end up falling short because there could be gold here. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I don't know what made it not.
I think the movie. And I don't know. I think a lot of people disagree with this because this is what they want. But I think this movie does the sin that the Ghostbusters remake did, which is so much fucking reference to what came before it.
Okay, so you'd have to
everything.
Be
so we have Lee in this movie, the super fan. We have Dave Grohl as the devil Satan at the end, which is essentially just tribute all over again. We have all these things. We have Paul Tompkins as the host come back. We have all these references. Cock Push-Ups comes into play. Is a fucking plot point at one point.
Yeah. So you would have to know Tenacious D
to really get a
before
big kick out.
Sure,
of
I totally
it.
Agree.
Yeah. And I just think they reference a lot in here, and I think that can feel.
It's
I
hard
think
for
this
me
movie
to give
would
that,
work
yeah.
better without Lee in it. Like I think this movie moves along more if you take Lee out of it.
So I would disagree. Lee is a good part, but maybe more explanation to Lee who he is.
But see, then you make it a longer movie.
You do make it a longer movie. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, and see, this is where I don't know if it was a longer movie, would it be better? Or is it because it's short, it's the best version there could be because they got rid of extraneous stuff that didn't work. Yeah. I don't know.
There's that weird line you have to walk.
Yeah. I might be a little biased too because this filmmaker, Liam Lynch, has only done the song United States of Whatever, which if you don't know that fucking 90s gym, look that up. That's a dumb fucking song. And then he's directed some music videos for like D'Antwoord and some other people. And then this is his only movie. And this movie feels so cheaply shot. So cheaply shot outside of Car Chase City.
Yes. It's amazing that like, I'm surprised this wasn't like just an HBO movie. Right.
It was
like,
it's the George Lucas shot, repeat. It's so flat and just boring cinematography. And maybe this is my fault because I watched it so close to Big Lebowski. But like, this movie is just, except for like when Jack Black does the Papageno Sassafras and you get the colors and stuff. And then like the real smart editing between like what's really happening versus what is
when
not.
When he's in like the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's really clever.
I always like that joke.
I wish the rest of the movie was edited as well as that. Like, because I think of Car Chase City, right? Like, and that's one big impressive stunt. But like the rest of it's kind of blah.
Yeah.
And look, we just saw Baby Driver this year. It's like, look how they fucking edited the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just made for TV shy. It feels like an episode of The Office or something. Like, it's just kind of...
Yeah, I'm not really disagreeing with anything that you're saying.
And again, it's the music. The music...
The music absolutely carries this, which is fine because it is Tenacious D, which is a band.
Yeah.
But for a feature-length film, especially one theatrically released, yes, that I totally agree. There should and could be more happening here. Mm-hmm.
And it's sad because I think...
There is a lot of great. I know.
I think given just a different director, I don't want to shit on this movie. I want to shit on the director.
Fair enough. I will totally.
I do think with like a different director, I think you'd have a fucking great film here. I think it's the shortcomings of the director who doesn't necessarily tie the narrative together either.
Because like even so, this does a thing that even like not a lot of good movies can do is that they do the callback. So like when KG leaves JB at the party with the chicks. KG throws a rock at it, and they zoom in and show it breaking the taillight, which is the setup for Car Chase City.
It is.
That's a nice fucking turn that happens throughout. There's a lot of that in this movie.
I give that to the script that Jack Black wrote. Yeah. Like, I think the script is good. I just, again, well, speaking of that scene, it's so fucking flatly shot. Like, KG's standing, the camera's standing, he throws a rock, and then cuts very close of the tailgate, breaks... Cut back to KG, same shot, and it's just the most boring, undynamic camera.
Yeah.
It's, okay.
What sucks too, like, so there's a lot, all right, so, we should again, let's bring back the positives.
Yes, because I mostly have positive feelings.
Yeah, let's talk about the fucking amazing cameos in this movie.
Yes. Kyle, what's your favorite cameo?
It's close.
Oh, shit.
It is close. But easily my favorite cameo in this movie.
It's Amy Adams in the crowd, isn't it?
No. It is Ben Stiller.
Oh, my God.
Because Ben Stiller just obviously has so much fucking fun with this stupid role that he's been given.
I argue he doesn't add anything.
He doesn't add anything.
He's not funny. I don't think any of his lines are funny. I don't think his delivery is funny.
His appearance and his delivery, you can tell he's just like in costume and he's like,
because that's what he is. Yeah. He's in costume exposition man. Yes. Like, I don't think he's given funny stuff to do.
Exactly. But he's still kind of, he attempts to make it work, but he tries to be super serious with this dumb story. He tries to be super lame guitar center guy. Like, when he fucking points, he always points with the devil horns. It's so stupid.
Here's how you fix this movie. Give John C. Reilly that part.
Maybe, yes.
And then, see, like, somebody like that could do that dry exposition, but deliver in a fun way, because that's what he did in Kong Skull Island. Yeah. And, like, that, you don't fucking care about the exposition, because it's fucking John C. Reilly in an Akira jacket, walking around on an island with a goddamn giant monkey with a samurai sword.
Thank you for giving pure credence to the Akira jacket.
I know all about that shit. That's one of the few animes I've seen.
My other favorite fucking cameo, it's so tiny, it's goddamn Amy Poehler.
Oh, man. You picked the waitress. All right, so Ben Stiller is nothing. I legitimately have an issue with her.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I like her ending joke of, oh, no, because you're so pretty, it's free. Yeah. I think that's funny. I don't understand why she shows up with a black eye, why you call out the black eye, and it's not a joke. There's just nothing there. Is this a
domestic
joke?
Dispute that I think is funny.
Is that funny?
Yeah, it can be.
The funny, it's not. Like that.
I thought it was funny.
There's maybe, no joke, though. Like, that's the thing. It's like, it is a woman who has a black eye, and then Jack Black is talking about this band stuff. He's like, oh, what happened to your eye? She said, I burn it with a curling iron.
I think it's hilarious.
In a dry way that was not delivered funny by her. And then he changes the subject. It's this weird, awkward fucking moment.
It's supposed to be awkward. And she's like trying, you know, she's obviously been beat up by somebody. And she's trying to, she's this hard-ass little chick that as soon as that gets brought up, she fucking turns into something else that's like, oh no, I burn it with a curling iron. I don't know.
All right, so then, all right, either that is a non-joke, and therefore the only joke is that violence happened, isn't that funny? Or you're trying to give character depth to a fucking cameo for what is essentially a two-line role.
I would think it's kind of both, but it's
not good. Again, it's bad. I think it's one of the worst cameos
in this
movie.
I really, really enjoy it, and I forgot that she was in it, and then she shows up again with that stupid black eye. And again, the fact that her fucking shirt says my face is up here and it again just points to the fucking black eye. I don't know.
Again, not a joke. It's not a joke. It's not delivered as a joke in the movie.
What are yours? What do you like? Who's your favorite cameo?
I'm surprised you didn't fucking come to the obvious one, which is Tom fucking Robbins.
Tim Robbins?
Tim fucking Robbins. Is Tom Robbins the self-help guru who...
That's Tony Robbins.
All right, so there's no Tom Robbins.
No.
Tim Robbins is my favorite. Absolutely. Just not only for just commitment to go to that fucking weird character, whatever that is, in the midst of like Oscar shit and everything, and he's going to do a Tenacious D movie. That's great. But he has the best visual gag in this movie, which is, come over here. I'm going to stab you now.
I'm going to stab you.
It's like, and then they're just like, no.
I thought you were going to talk about when he goes to sit in the chair and he like swings his blade. Yeah.
Oh, that's good, too. There's a lot.
It's hilarious that you say that, because I think the Tim Robbins character is kind of probably my least favorite cameo, which is so funny. This is just our contradictions.
What the fuck?
I think because...
I literally have Ben Stiller cameo, nothing special, everyone outshines him, KG outshines him.
It's just us, buddy. It's our different strokes.
And KG does win that scene, by the way, when he goes, there's a light switch.
Oh,
here.
There's a light switch. He's like, no. Yeah.
Definitely wins that scene.
KG, man, I think KG's maybe my favorite part of this whole movie.
You know, I mean, if you have to pick one, I don't know. I still really enjoy Jack Black's shtick.
Man, he's so fucking good.
Don't get tired of it.
They're both like so on point in this because it is their thing.
Yeah.
They absolutely know and understand these two characters.
Because
they're very stylized versions of Kyle Gass and Jack Black.
Yeah.
So,
and I'll never get tired of Jack Black exclaiming real curtly, like the cock shit or something like that. That's great. Like, I'll always laugh at that.
Cock ass.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. I love it. Gonna check the levels on that one. Cock ass.
So we also have
that
fucking
went real hillbilly there. That was weird.
We have Fred Armisen as a security guard. Another cameo. Completely underutilized.
I guess.
But
it had nothing to do.
That's great. It could have been just some dude.
Yeah.
It is nice to see Fred Armisen.
Mm-hmm. We had Amy Adams real brief in the crowd for Master Exploder. Yeah. Literally does nothing except for scream for Jack Black.
Yeah. I love when before Master Exploder.
Colin Hanks, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I love before that when like they're just playing the history of Tenacious D. And Kyle winks at some chick, and she gets really disgusted.
And turns around,
God, man.
Well, let's just lead into that, because that is all part of... The history of Tenacious is deep. Awesome. But that inevitably leads into Master Exploder. And everything about that scene still works 100% for me.
Oh, it's fantastic.
From
scene.
Paul F. Tompkins starting out by, like... They asked me not to read this, but I don't care. I love this band.
Yeah.
They are the greatest, and just like completely goes over the top because it's your fantasy. Fantastic. I love that their costume change, like it just keeps ramping up in absurdity. Like they appear in like black leather shirts and mesh tops, and then it just keeps getting more ridiculous like every 30 seconds.
I love all of KG's different guitars.
Yeah.
So like when he does, so there's the one solo where it's two guitars playing on two different harmonics. And so instead of doing
that, is that the six armed one?
No, that's three different harmonics. Oh. But the two different harmonic solos is when he has the guitar that's a girl's legs.
Oh, that's right.
And he
yeah.
runs down the middle, and then licks it in between the middle. He's like, "Oh, it's so fucking good." And then we get to the six arm solo where he's playing three different
he's
solos
got the
over.
Bandana now.
Yeah.
And the eyeshadow.
Oh my god, dude!
It's great stuff, and that song is just a masterpiece. Unlike Kickapoo or Beelzebub, it doesn't have as much different tones. Like it doesn't switch up as
no,
much.
No, it stays the same. But
it is just a solid, perfect little rock song. Like it is just fast and to the point. I love that song.
Tenacious D writes fucking good songs.
Yes.
And I don't know how much of that is Jack Black and KG. Like, I know KG is a hell of a guitar player. But I know, like, all of the greatest things that you know from Tenacious D also had Dave Grohl's influence. Like,
yep.
He's a big part of this behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I love Dave Grohl.
I think we should just start a Dave Grohl podcast.
I would do that.
Just a separate one where we talk about Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm down.
The Grohl cast.
I'll think on it.
Okay.
It's not going to be that, but I'll think on
sure,
it.
Sure, okay. Okay. I do love, so when KG is in the, or when they're both, that whole diner scene, I really do enjoy it. Because especially when Tim Robbins shows up and he's trying to talk to Jack Black and Jack Black's playing it off. And he steals their map, says, enter here.
Mm-hmm.
But I love when KG's talking to the sorority girls. I want that sorority girl's shirt that says, I love sluts.
Yeah.
That's a fucking great shirt.
Yeah. So I got a jumping off point, if you don't mind.
Go jump off. Like it's a quarry.
You can't. Yeah. So this just hits in perfect. So the diner scene is our first kind of fight between Jack Black and Cage. I've got issues with the structure of the story, and I think this movie could be improved in one big way. So we have this big fight between Jack Black and Kyle at the diner. They go their separate ways, whatever. They learn they have to be together, and they meet and break into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then they get the pick of destiny, and then they start to fight again at the club. And then Paul Tompkins, Satan comes in and kind of breaks them up to Osman, and they come together. And then Jack Black jumps in front of Cage and sacrifices himself, which is like the big crux of the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of bullshitty and whatever. Like, the way you make this work, because like you set up this dramatic tension with a fight, only to undercut it by having them make up and then fight and then make up again and then save. Like, why would you not just have, like, one fight throughout the movie, don't have them resolve everything in, like, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and before they do resolve something, then you sacrifice himself. So then that's a moment where, like, oh, shit, he's my friend. He sacrificed himself for me. And it's just, like, moments like this is, like, fucking any other filmmaker could make that kind of moment work. And it's just, it's a very simple editing thing. You wouldn't have to change much. I'm sorry. The diner scene is your favorite part.
It's not my favorite.
Well, go back. It's one of your favorite. It's one that you like.
Yeah, I just like it. And I really just
sorry,
like the...
Downing. I'm such a downer.
The interaction between Tim Robbins and Jack Black through that whole thing is great, even though I don't really like Tim Robbins in this role. I like when he shows up into the bathroom and he's talking to Jack Black and drops all this shit and then he drops all those
fucking
parts.
God damn it. It's my least favorite part. Of course it is. I fucking hate the comical, wet, over-the-top, loud fart poop sound.
Yeah, it's of course you do, but
it's
so dumb.
Fucking stupid.
Yeah, but it's Tenacious D. It's supposed to be dumb and stupid.
Well, that's... All right. That, I think, gets to the point of this. When I look at... I have the Tenacious D Complete Masterworks in DVD, and they have, like, all of their HBO stuff and, like, some of their shorts, which includes, like, LSD Baby and shit, like, where...
I've seen all of that stuff on YouTube.
Where they take drugs or something, go to the desert, and Cage poops out a baby, and then it's, like, covered in poop and stuff, and it's all dumb. It's all so fucking dumb. Yeah, so, and there's a lot of dumb humor mixing with the genius.
Real physical poop, like, it's not funny, but, like... He's just sitting on the toilet and he gets scared.
Tell that to Kevin Smith.
Yes. I hate the
fucking... It's not fucking funny. Stop it.
I hate the shit monster from Golgotha.
Stop it. I don't like Zack and Miri when that one person gets frosted on.
I think that's kind of funny, but that's different.
We disagree.
We...
Don't do it, though,
we
Kevin
disagree.
Smith.
I like...
I'm just kidding.
So I
do
had
whatever
another,
you want.
Make and a, another setup point. That
so this, you were talking about.
Well, there's the diner scene. There's another setup that I think is done really well.
Cock push-ups.
Cock push-ups is another one.
Yeah.
They talk about cock push-ups, and there's one more. Oh, the fucking power slide also comes
oh,
into
yes,
play
that's
in
right.
that scene. Again, it's that's, that, that.
Well, there's even
it's
more.
It's good
the,
movie making that the, just doesn't work.
Again, I don't think it's a movie making. I think it is a script. I think all that stuff
yes.
is script writing.
Yes.
And I think this is a good script.
Because a
with
good
a
movie
great soundtrack.
We'll set up things and yep. then call them back. You don't show them unless you're going to use them. And
that's
it
all
does
script.
All of that. And yep. that's fucking great.
It does it with the car chase, too. Because
yeah.
you see
you, when
Cage
he's
playing,
playing
the
video
game.
Game.
No,
yeah.
the script is really solid. I just think it's hampered by subpar lazy direction.
Yeah, and again, I
they should
I
have
agree
shot the moon when they got directors, and they didn't.
I think I agree because, like, even the car chase scene, you don't pick up on that until like your fourth or fifth time, mm-hmm. or unless somebody points it out, like that. Oh yeah, he was playing that video game earlier, and it's the exact same
yeah.
way it happened.
Yeah, all, verbatim. Like
yes.
the car flips the exact same way.
Yes.
It's the same maneuver.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking great. The power slide they talk about, and you know it ends up saving their ass, mm-hmm. and whatever the other one you mentioned was. Can't think of it because Stoner Movie September. I'm going to blame it on that.
Sure.
but yeah, again, I like the idea of this movie. I think it could have done more. It could have been more. And that's the saddest part.
Yeah.
But hands down, 10 out of 10, fantastic soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely. All right, so we talked a lot of love about our favorite songs on the soundtrack. What's your least favorite? What's the one you could do without?
Probably the Sasquatch song.
I would prefer that just because of the second act where it goes, well, up here in the Mr. Mountain, sir.
When it gets actually
Harper
rocky.
Is my
yes.
He's gonna protect me.
Yes.
Great.
But it takes so much to get there.
Baby.
Sure. Yeah.
Is the one I would do with
the
that.
The only reason Baby doesn't bother me is because Baby's like 40 seconds.
I think it's a wasted 40 seconds. Like,
I agree.
It means nothing to me.
It's really dumb, but again, it's quick and it's,
yeah.
it doesn't affect me.
There and is like a bunch of dumb, like children chanting in that Papageno song at
yes.
the beginning. And you have to get through like a minute and a half of garbage.
Papageno, yes.
That is true.
Again, this is just me. I'm gonna jump to Beelzebub because that is such a fantastic scene.
Yes.
Well, what I love is when he's playing the guitar solo, the devil, is that he's playing a fucking Dimebag
Daryl. Yeah,
Dimebag
Daryl. What band?
From Pantera.
I wouldn't
who
know.
Who is my favorite guitarist of all time. I'm a fucking gigantic Pantera and especially Dimebag Daryl fan.
Nice.
And the fact that he's playing a Hank from Hell, Dean, Dimebag signature guitar, it's just, for me, it's just one of those little touches that I'm like, fuck yes. Fucking A. And
yeah.
it just... Again, it's all of that, like, as a whole, this movie has everything that should make it awesome, and there's just these little things that make it fall short, and it sucks.
Yeah.
So
I think with a little bit bigger budget and a different filmmaker behind the wheel, I think this would easily be at the top of both our lists, because I think the potential's there. I think the writing is stronger than it has any right to be.
Yeah.
And the songs are fantastic. Like,
yeah.
it's just a great album, even if you don't watch this movie, like, fuck it. This is surely on Spotify. Listen to the Pick a Destiny album. It's
yeah.
free. Fuck, it's great.
Well,
if you have Netflix,
else.
It's on there for free.
Click
right
to
now.
This other thing I linked on our Facebook where it's just the Beelzebub
yes.
song. Because, god damn it is a fucking amazing song in every aspect.
Agreed.
So, Ryan, would you recommend this movie to just anybody?
Anybody who listens to this podcast, yes.
Okay.
To average Joe on the street, no, I probably wouldn't.
I would agree for the first half and the second half, but also throw in anybody that just likes rock and roll, I think would appreciate
it. I think it's worth
movie.
At least a watch.
Yeah.
yeah. Though there are a lot of references, and it's clear, like, this is a love letter to rock. Like,
yep.
They're big high stakes place in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and you see all the decades and stuff, and they pay homage to like a lot of people. Like, Zeppelin, ZZ Top, like you hear like the Who when they're learning that.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Yeah.
It's great. If you like rock and you like old, good rock, none of this new shit, you'll like this. Because, I mean, is there even new rock?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
There's garbage rock.
I don't count
rock.
Like old rock bands still making new albums. Like, I don't think there are any new rock people.
There are, but they're garbage. I don't care.
Are they? Mm. Are they? Does it count if you're just like on a keyboard fucking simulating a band? Does it count?
No, it
I
doesn't.
Think not.
So
we're going to hashtag Dave Grohl on this one.
Oh, I will be sending this episode, Dave Grohl and Jack Black.
Well, I'm sorry, Jack Black, for having some issues with your movie. I think your script is great and your voice magnifico.
Even Jack Black has some complaints with this movie.
Dave Grohl, you can do no wrong. Hashtag, I even like One by One. And I know not a lot of people do, but I love One by One.
Monkey Wrench is your best song, Dave Grohl.
That is just not fucking true.
Just saying it.
Monkey Wrench, huh?
Monkey Wrench is a fucking amazing rock and roll song.
I completely agree. Well, it's like picking fucking favorite children.
Sure.
But most people go with Everlong. That's
everybody
goes. Anytime anybody goes something that's not Everlong, I'm interested.
It's sappy garbage. It's okay. I say garbage. I still like Everlong, but give me fucking Monkey Wrench. That grab you by the balls. Like, let's have some fucking fun rock and roll. Let's just do it.
I'll go deep cut. Statues off Echo Silence. Patience
is
great. It's just a beautiful fucking song. It's a great song.
All right, Ryan. As always, man. This is not our final episode in Stoner Movie September, but this has been a fun Stoner Movie September.
Yeah.
Every movie, I feel, has been above and beyond the first year. Even Half-Baked.
No, I disagree.
Disagree.
I like Half-Baked better than this one, yeah.
You do.
I do.
I like this one better than Half-Baked. Not to say Half-Baked is bad, but I liked Pick of Destiny better.
I will say, Tenacious D, Pick of Destiny, was shot 10 years later, and you can't tell.
You really can't.
Shot 10 years later than Half-Baked, you can't tell. That's how cheaply it's shot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally give you that one, so.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Well, as always, thank you, man. And I'm glad that we do this. I'm looking forward to next year's Stoner Movie September.
Yes, you guys. Write in your suggestions.
I already have my idea for the next year's.
I do
want to
too.
Tell you.
Okay. I know.
Let's talk about it off air.
Yes.
But I'm excited. And then, of course, we will have. I really like getting the fans involved. This is the first year we had the fans pick two movies. I think that really fucking worked, and we're going to do that again, too. So, guys, be thinking of next year. So, anyways, as always, I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And this is the Experience Grind podcast. Get stoned and then finger each other's buttholes. Bye, guys.
Wow.
Wow.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We really hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, you can check us out at experiencegrind.com or find us over at facebook.com/experiencegrind.
Watch me play games on twitch.tv/experiencegrind.
We really like money. We really like money. We really like money. You should give us your money.
Find us on Patreon. Just search for Experience Grind Podcast.
Email us at experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com. It's current year.
Follow us if you like butt stuff.